This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1. I'm David Martin Davies. On Saturday, San Antonio voters went to the polls and they made a decision about mayor. A very clear decision, Ron Nuremberg. He wins a third term in a landslide, but not so clear. We have three city council representatives who are going into runoffs, and Prop B was defeated, but just barely. We're joined by Gilbert Garcia, the Metro columnist and host of the Proto Politics podcast at the San Antonio Express News, to break down the results. And Gilbert, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you so much.
So what's your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think that the drama and the energy in this election was really all around the Proposition B ballot measure, which was introduced by Fix SAPD with the idea of repealing collective bargaining for the police union as a way to achieve police reform. As you said, it came up just short. They got nearly 49% of the vote, but it was a pretty amazing accomplishment. I think that, you know, they got 73,000 votes. And this was an organization that, you know, they just had been around less than a year. There were a lot of people in the political and business establishment who didn't really want to get involved in this because they didn't want to cross the police union. So it was, I think it was a major achievement. And I think it really drove the turnout. We had better than 17% turnout, which is might sound low, but compared to what we've seen in past city elections, it was actually remarkably high.
People are wondering what to make of those numbers for Proposition B. Yes, the challenge to trying to change a charter to take away collective bargaining from the police union, it failed. Didn't get enough votes. Didn't pass. But so close. People are wondering, will the city council see that? Will they demand a contract from the police union in negotiations that will be tougher on police accountability? Or will the police union see this as a win and they figure like, hey, we don't have to do anything now. It's business as usual.
I think one of the things that was really telling to me was like when the early vote numbers came in and the anti-Proposition B forces, the basically the police union, were slightly ahead already. But when early interviews were done with the people on both sides, O.G. Martin, who was working with Fix SAPD, was ecstatic at how well they were doing. And Danny Diaz with the police union was really, he admitted he was really nervous. And I think he was very concerned because I think that obviously the people on the Fix SAPD side wanted to win and hoped to win, but I think they exceeded their own expectations, looking at the uphill battle they face. And I think that there's some real thought that, you know, the tide has kind of turned when it comes to the issue of police reform. Even before this election, there was, I think, some recognition. You know, Ron DeLord, who's been representing the San Antonio Police Union, has been pretty public about the fact that he sees the fact that we're in a different era now, and the unions have to accept some concessions. I think this election will push that even harder, and I strongly feel that the city council this time around would not accept a contract that didn't, you know, meet certain benchmarks when it came to police reform.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also tweet at us at TPRSource. Or email us at thesource@tpr.org. Text us at that number, 833-877-8255. Why did you go vote? Were you encouraged by the results? And what do you make of the turnout? So Ron Nuremberg gets a third term. This is the first time he really gets to coast to a victory, Gilbert.
That's right. And I was looking at the numbers. I think he got about 92,000 votes, which I think is really, if not for Henry Cisneros and some of the amazing turnouts that he had in the early 80s, this would probably be a record for San Antonio. And just to give you a sense of how, you know, what the turnout was like this year compared to recent elections. In 2013, when Julian Castro was seeking his third term, we had less than 7% turnout. He got about 29,000 votes. And this time Nuremberg got, you know, 92,000. But I think that, you know, if you look at it objectively, I mean, I think that it was certainly a vote of confidence in his leadership, particularly during the COVID-19 crisis. But I think, a lot of it was just people came to the polls because of Proposition B. And Greg Brockhaus, who, you know, mounted a really strong challenge 2 years ago and lost a close runoff. He just was really never able to get any traction this time at all.
It seemed like Greg kind of stopped campaigning after a while. His website wasn't updated since April 1st. He just didn't really seem to find a lane for himself. And
that's right.
Mayor Nuremberg was running as if he were unopposed.
Yeah, he did refuse to debate Brockhaus. And I have a whole theory about the election, which I think Greg Brockhaus would probably not agree with. But, you know, I've seen instances, with 1987, 88, when Gary Hart, the Democratic presidential frontrunner, dropped out because of an infidelity scandal. He got back in 7 months later knowing that he wasn't going to win, but because he wanted to sort of go out on his own terms. I think Rick Perry did that in 2016 when he ran a second time after a dismal 2012 presidential campaign. I sense that Greg Brockhaus, you know, he's politically savvy. I think he knew that this was not going to be a great political cycle for him. But I think that his 2019 race was it was an ugly campaign. Obviously, there were allegations of domestic violence in his past, and he was not very open about that at all. And I think he wanted to run a different kind of campaign this time, even if it meant that his chances were slim.
I also look at, so Ron Nuremberg was a pro-mask, social distance, we've got to confront the virus type of a leader during the pandemic. And Greg Brockhaus was looking for anti-maskers, people who wanted to stay open during the pandemic. He was trying to get that kind of support.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also, that you can't underestimate the impact that the police union had in 2019 versus 2021. Greg Brockhaus had been a consultant for the police union. He's very close to them. They got behind his 2019 campaign in a big way. In 2021, they had their own big issue to deal with this proposition, and they stayed out of the mayoral race. And Ron Nuremberg, who's had a pretty testy relationship with the union, there was kind of a detente between them, and he stayed out of the fray when it came. Brockhaus was adamantly opposed to Proposition B and was, saying this is going to be bad for policing in San Antonio, but Nuremberg stayed out of that one. And
I want to get to this point, though, anti-maskers. And is that a political base? Is there something there that will influence future elections? Looking at what we saw on Saturday, I'd say there's nothing there.
Yeah, it's a loud group of people, certainly people who are very vociferous in their opinion, but I don't think the numbers. I don't think you're going to win any elections.
Right, they used to talk about the silent majority, and we now have the vocal minority.
That's exactly right.
All right, so we're taking a break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue talking about the San Antonio City elections. We're doing a recap. We're breaking down some of the runoff races. There are going to be three city council incumbents going into runoffs. What's that going to look like? Also, how Prop A was a big win, and that may have shocked some people, and that's the one that will allow the city to put out municipal bonds to do public housing or other things. And what kind of questions do you have? How did you vote? What motivated you to the polls? You can give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, here with Gilbert Garcia from the Express News. We'll be right back. The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're spending our first half hour looking at the results from the city election. If you have a question or a comment, want to tell us why you voted, were you happy with the results, or are you dismayed, 833-877-8255. And we have Bob on the phone. Bob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air with Gilbert Garcia, San Antonio Express News columnist.
Thank you, gentlemen. I just have a brief question. Proposition B was sort of touted by its opponents as being something that was going to defund the police, when in actuality that clearly was not the intent of the bill. I wonder if either of you have any thoughts about how that tactic played out and what that says about the the veracity of the individuals who were opposed to it. I'll take my reply off here. Thank you.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Gilbert Garcia, a Metro columnist, host of the Poodle Politics podcast at the Express News. Was defund the police, was as an effective mechanism as the union had hoped?
I think it was kind of it was really their entire campaign. I mean, if you look at the mailers they did, that they were saying this is going to, I think the argument they made was it's going to defund the police. It's going to, you know, if they were arguments that this is going to possibly increase wait times for people who are crime victims. There was some real fear that was put in there, as the Fix SAPD proponents said, that's not what they were talking about at all. It was really about changing the bargaining process to allow for police reform. One of the things I heard from people, you know, the Texas Organizing Project was involved in helping to get out the vote for Proposition B, and generally people who knocked on doors when they were able to talk to people about what this, the idea that this was about accountability and not about defunding the police, they found that they were doing pretty well. But obviously you can't talk to everybody, and I think this defund the police message, it did scare people, and that was really the core of the police union's argument.
Well, so if the police union was going to run with defund the police, which was inaccurate to say the least about that, I was kind of surprised that even though it was part of the campaign, it wasn't made more of, that the pro Prop B people didn't run on remember the feces sandwich.
Yeah, and actually they did, in their mailers, did have, they referred to the incident with former police officer Matthew Luckhurst, and that incident where he offered a feces sandwich to a homeless person and was reinstated. They included, you know, his.
Yeah, but I'm saying they didn't go big with it.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I mean, it was I think hard for people to get, in many cases, to get their heads around the idea of what collective bargaining, not having collective bargaining, was going to mean. I mean, one of the things that is probably not realized by a lot of people is that the other major cities in Texas, Dallas, Austin, Fort Worth, Houston, none of those cities have collective bargaining for their police unions, and they're doing all right. But there was a sense that was created here that we're going to have trouble recruiting people. We're just that it's going to decimate the police department if this passes.
Let's go to the phones, and the number is 833-877-8255 with Samir. Samir, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for having me. So I voted yes on both propositions. I'm glad to see Prop A did pass. Voted for Ron, and the only thing I'm dismayed is, like, the John Courage runoff, because I live in District 9. But my question is, can the Prop B be brought back up in the 24 election? In the general election, presidential election, which obviously is a great big turnout, which favors these types of issues, can they bring it back?
All right. Thank you for that question, Samir. And so, Gilbert Garcia, we are hearing Fix SAPD they're looking at November. What do they have?
Yeah, I mean, it is possible, you know, to bring it back. I mean, I think one.
But it would be different. They're looking at a specific clause, not necessarily. The rejecting it's a slight difference.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about what the particulars are behind what their plan might be on that. I would say that there's some thought, has been some thought among the proponents of Proposition B that, and I think a lot of confidence actually that if it had been possible to get this on a November ballot last year, and of course we had a pretty crowded ballot with there were a lot of other things involved, workforce development and so on, but if it had been on a November 2020 ballot, that it would have won easily with the kind of big turnout that you see in a November election.
Now, I could be wrong on this, but the only council member that I know that was actually running for Prop B was Roberto Trevino in District 1, and he's in a runoff.
That's right.
Do you think that weighed him down?
I don't necessarily think that did. I mean, it could have had a played a role. I mean, he's been in the middle of a lot of contentious issues over the years. I mean, for example, he was really involved in Alamo Plaza redevelopment, and was adamant that the cenotaph should be moved. I don't think District 1 is necessarily a real conservative district, but I think for those conservative voters in the district, they probably had some resentment about that. He has been very supportive of homeless people who have spent the night near his field office. and his argument has been that this has enabled them to be able to connect with services, the people who work on his staff, but there have been people in the neighboring areas who have been upset about that. So he's been in the middle of a lot of contentious issues, and I think that all those played a part.
Mario Bravo and Council Member Trevino are going to go into that runoff, and so any observations?
Yeah, I think that Mario Bravo is an environmental activist. He's been involved in a lot of issues in recent years, and I think that his campaign really came on strong in the final weeks. I think he outperformed what I would have expected. I thought that we had a possibility of a runoff, but he did very well, and I think that's going to be a close race. I think Roberto Trevino has generally had some tough challenges over the years. It's rarely been easy for him.
Express News endorsed Mario Bravo.
That's right. That's right. The editorial board did.
And so also in that District 1 race, Lauro Bustamante, he's run every city council race for the last 20 years. Do you get a plaque for that?
We have a lot of perennials. And what's interesting is sometimes when perennials, win or are in a position where they have a chance to win. And I mean, in reference to District 9, which is probably the most conservative district in the city, Patrick Von Dolan, who's hardcore social conservative, has run over and over. This is really the third time that he and John Courage have run against each other. But this is the first time he and Courage will be in a runoff together.
So we had 80 candidates on, running for these seats. Is that a problem if you have these people, these perennial candidates? Is this part of we just accept it?
Yeah, I think it can be a problem. I mean, I think that you have some situations where, runoffs are created. I don't know that necessarily affected any of these particular races. In the case of John Courage, he got 47%. Maybe with fewer candidates, it might have made a difference as far as a runoff. But sometimes you get situations where someone, because you have 10 candidates and a few are getting 1%, 2%, it can create a runoff where you wouldn't have one otherwise.
14 candidates for mayor, 12 candidates for District 2, 12 candidates for District 3, 11 candidates for District 5. We're getting pretty long. Let me go to a caller, Janie. Hey, Janie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Janie, you there? Oh, we lost her. So let me go back to you. You were talking about the race. Now it's going to be John Courage versus Patrick Von Dolan. And he has Patrick Von Dolan has had the endorsement of Chip Roy, a lot of conservative organizations. He called John Courage a Marxist. This has the potential for being pretty intense.
It will be. And John Courage has been, kind of a fascinating figure in local politics because he was someone who ran as a Democrat in various races and had not won. Usually would take on hopeless causes, running against the former Congressman Lamar Smith, for example. He won in 2017. Most observers thought he was going to be a one-term council member because he's in a conservative district, but he has worked really hard at constituent services and being engaging with neighborhood associations, and he was able to get reelected. It's always going to be a challenge for him in that conservative district, but I think one thing that will be interesting to see is, the Proposition B, he didn't get involved in that, but I think that some of the anti-Proposition B, forces were probably behind Von Dolan, and now that that's kind of off the ballot, not in the part of the picture, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right, let's go back to Janie. Janie, you there? Go ahead.
I'm here this time. I really feel that Prop B was throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I voted against it because I don't like reducing anybody's collective bargaining rights. Unions built the middle class in this country, and no pun intended, I think it's incumbent upon the mayor to get another contract that's better for everyone.
All right, Janie, thank you for that. So Prop B, that it lost on May 1st, International Day of the Worker.
Sure.
Anything to learn from that?
Yeah, I think that was one of the fascinating things about this, that the politics of it were so complicated because you had old school Democratic liberals, in some cases, people with San Antonio, members of the AFL-CIO, for example, saying, we want to see police reform, and we don't. They might not necessarily be comfortable with all of the tactics from the police union, but they supported collective bargaining, something that they believe that organized labor should have the right to. So it did get complicated. I think Republicans were pretty staunchly against Proposition B. Governor Greg Abbott actually came out and congratulated San Antonio for voting it down. But among Democrats, there was some division because some Democrats who want to see police reform also support the concept of collective bargaining.
Like Julian and Joaquin Castro, they're out there supporting it. Let me go to ask you about what's happening in District 2. Now, we have a runoff there. The incumbent, Jada Andrews Sullivan, it will be having a runoff with one of her former staffers, Jalen McKee Rodriguez.
Yeah, and I think this is the... I was talking to some of my colleagues. I think we're all in agreement that among the three council incumbents who face runoffs, I think Jada Andrews Sullivan is the one who's probably in the biggest political trouble. She, 83% of the people who voted in that district voted for other candidates. She finished a pretty distant second to Jalen McKee Rodriguez. He's a young school teacher. He's really a movement candidate, has a lot of support among young grassroots progressives. He worked on her staff early on, and he has been very critical of the way she handled her job. He would be the first openly gay man on council if elected, and he said that while he was on her staff, that her chief of staff, there were acts of homophobia that were directed at him. So I think that Jada Andrews Sullivan has a real uphill battle in trying to keep her seat.
So there's a couple of open seats in District 3. We have two running for – this is a weird situation. So we have Tomas Ureste. He got into the runoff against Phyllis Villagran, who is the sister of the outgoing council member. I don't want to take anything away from these candidates just based on the fact that they have a close familial relationship with office holders, but it seems odd.
Yeah, it's a really unusual situation where it seems like the power of name recognition is everything here. I mean, Tomas Ureste, I was actually surprised that he made the runoff. The Ureste name had become kind of a toxic one, given the legal, problems that his brother, former state senator Carlos Ureste, has had. So, but he was able to get into a runoff, I think, just because, largely because of the fact that it was a familiar name. And I think that with Phyllis Villagran, I mean, I think her challenge has been that there are some people saying, we had her sister in office, we had one Villagran for 8 years, and, some people are resistant to the idea of carrying on, having the office be held by one family.
But I think to draw conclusions based upon their last name, whether positive or negative, it's basically the same thing. You really got to drill down and see what these individuals have to offer.
That's right. Absolutely.
And in District 5, it's another open seat, and Terry Castillo was the top vote getter, and yep. She had a progressive backing behind her, and so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and I think that both she and Jalen McKee Rodriguez in District 2 supported Proposition B. They're both sort of movement progressives, and so I think that Prop B supporters look to those runoffs and think, we've got a good chance to elect these two, and that says a lot about what we're doing.
All right. I want to thank you, Gilbert Garcia, Metro columnist, host of the Poodle Politics podcast for the San Antonio Express News. I'm sure we'll be looking at the runoff is what, June 5th?
I think that's right. Yeah, thank you.
So it's going to be a big runoff, and we'll be having forums with candidates so our listeners can get to know them a little bit better. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about what's happening at the San Antonio Children's Shelter, some big questions, and we're going to get you some answers. We're going to be joined by the president and CEO, Annette Rodriguez, of the Children's Shelter of San Antonio. You can call in with your questions, 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.